into that as well. Don't let that throw you, because that's not abnormal. God knows how to do things and when to do things and what to use to do things. And we have to be willing, part of the excitement of walking with God is being able to be willing to turn with the bull. You know, when you ride a bull and you come out of that chute, you know, you practice and you practice and you practice. I've always wanted to ride a bull. It was one of my things on my bucket list. Now I'm kind of old, I don't know, but I always wanted to do that. And, you know, you practice, you learn, and you study, and you learn characteristics and things like that. But when that chute opens up, you don't know exactly how that bull's going to move, you know? And so God, being the great and mighty power that He is, we don't always know how He's going to turn. And you have to find that as part of the excitement. See, that's part of the excitement, I think, to a bull rider, is they don't know what's going to happen. They prepare, but they really don't know. And so we have to understand that we don't know exactly what twists and turns God's going to take us down, but it's part of the excitement. And so just cast your cares upon Him. Don't be nervous, and God's going to take care of everything, okay? He's going to take care of everything. Tonight, what I would like to do is, we've been talking about the book of Romans, and tonight what I'd like to do is finish up in our study of the book of Romans. And just one of the most amazing books in the Bible to me, just so rich and full. And we've been studying, the last time we were together, we talked a little bit about authority. And the reason that the Apostle Paul talked about authority was because that was one of the evidences of the Lordship of Jesus and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Authority is is something that God instituted, and it's something that God uses. The only authority that's perfect is His. Human authority, which He does use, is not perfect. It's not perfect. But how we respond to it shows our trust in God, or lack thereof. I know sometimes when you're underneath an ungodly authority, you can really wonder, you know, how are things going to work out? Is God able to reach into this situation and really work? Well, the answer to that is yes. God can. And if you are praying and seeking God, not only God will. And so we have to trust Him. And then the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he segued out of his talk about the fruit of the Spirit and manifesting itself in a recognition and obedience of authority into just talking about love. And he talked about that love was the bottom line, basic foundation from which everything we'll ever live our life, everything that God will ever do through our life is founded in. It's the source, it's the impetus of everything that God does. It says in the book of Romans in chapter 13, it says, love does no harm to its neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. You know, and when you read the Bible and you see all the things the Bible says, sometimes it can be overwhelming, you know, and you look at it and you go, boy, there's just so many things that God talks about. That's a big book. But what Jesus says to us, and then what the Apostle Paul reiterates, is that if you love, you have fulfilled everything that God is calling you to do. If you love Him first, and then through His love, you're loving Him and putting Him first, He downloads love into you, then you're not going to mistreat anyone. You're not going to disobey God. It's not going to be in your heart to want to do that. You're going to want to follow Him. You're going to trust Him. You're going to want to please Him. You're going to want to do things that where He leads you. You're going to want to follow. So the Apostle Paul talked about love, and that leads into what I want to talk about tonight, which is a subject that he talked about that really has its foundation in love. I'm choking. Hold on. All right, here we go. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans 14. Hey, you know what? How many of you love to travel? Anybody love to travel around the world? I do too. And if you travel very much and you have an opportunity to go and fellowship with other Christians around the world, you'll see that there's a vast difference in the way that Christians around the world live out their faith. I mean, there's differences in worship styles, there's differences in sometimes things that people do and that they don't do, and what you're seeing oftentimes is differences in culture. And I love different cultures. Anybody else like different cultures? I do. I like to explore and experience different cultures. Yeah, the food, exactly. I love Indian food. And I you know, even when we go to Africa, I love to eat everything there. I just love to try new things. But I also understand it's not culture that defines how we live, it's the Word of God as believers. So that's a challenge. For instance, when we were just recently in Africa, one of the things that they asked us to do was to do a marriage conference in one afternoon, just have a marriage encounter with the couples there in the church in Kenya where we were. And there are a lot of cultural things that affect how we do marriage. And so that's a challenge. I mean, you can hear a pin drop in there when you get in there and start ministering out of the Bible about marriage in a culture, because culture can define what we do sometimes. And when our culture comes in conflict with the Word of God's king. Okay, the Word of God is king. Now, even with our own culture here in America, Christians have different beliefs about things. You ever notice that? They do. They have different definitions a lot of times of what is even allowable for us to do in our lives, of what is sinful. And sometimes Christians even get into arguments over certain matters that the Bible kind of, I don't know if it calls it this, but just disputable matters. I mean, matters that are not addressed in the Word of God, or matters that are addressed in the Word of God, but we disagree about the definition and the degree to which those things should be followed or obeyed, or what obedience to those things looks like. You understand what I mean? I mean the degree and what those things look like. So, for instance, oh my gosh, there's so many of them. But the Bible doesn't tell us whether we can go to movies or not. Doesn't tell us which ratings are acceptable and which are not. It doesn't tell us about a lot of things. Although it gives some things about how to dress, it doesn't say you can wear this, but you can't wear that. You can wear this, but you can't wear that. Okay? There's no pictures there along with the descriptions to say it's not like a dress code at work. I mean, there's no pictures there to be able to say this is acceptable, but this is not. You can't. You don't see there, you can't wear a skirt any higher than 2 inches above the knee. You know what I'm saying? Or you can't wear this, or you can't wear that. Those type of descriptions are not given to us. I had one time I was living in this neighborhood, and I met the guy from across the street, and he was a believer, and he had a family, and we had a family, so we wanted to talk, and we did talk about the Lord a lot. And so we wanted to get to know them better. So one day, it was summer, so I was standing there, my wife just asked them, say, how would you guys like to take the kids and all of us go swimming? Take the kids out swimming. He said, oh no, we don't do mixed bathing. Okay? We don't do mixed bathing. And for a minute, I didn't know what he's talking about. I thought, we're not going to bathe together. I mean, this is... But then all of a sudden it began to click. They don't swim with other couples, okay? They don't do that. And so there's a vast interpretation. Everybody understand what I'm saying about what's acceptable and what's not acceptable and different things about that in the Word of God. I started to bring an apple with me tonight and I forgot. And I started to tell you guys, I got that apple off of one of those displays in the nail salon. You ever been in some of the nail salons now, and they've got the shrine to Buddha up there, and they've got all the fruit in front of it? There's just so many interesting things going on in society. And there's just so much talk about these things and how they affect us. So tonight, that's what I want to talk about tonight, because that's what Paul talks about when he's speaking of love. So Romans 14, let's look at that, and then we'll read that, and then we'll go on from there. The Bible says in verse 1, receive one who is weak in the faith. We'll talk about that in a minute. But not to disputes over doubtful things. In other words, what he's saying here is receive people into your congregation. Receive people that think differently than you do about how to interpret some things into your church. But don't receive them in there to argue with them, okay? And maybe even with the idea that you're going to change them. Receive them in, okay? For one believes he may eat everything. That's me. But he who is weak eats only vegetables. And we'll talk about that a little in a minute. Let him who eats not despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another's servant? Okay, so Brandy may be my sister in the Lord, but she serves who? The Lord. Okay, now, we'll go into that. I understand there's some things that are caveats to that or exceptions to that in some ways, but this is what it's talking about as we live with one another. All right, it says, to his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another, and another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, and he gives God thanks, and he who doesn't eat to the Lord, he doesn't eat, and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, who do we belong to? We're the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Therefore let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there's nothing unclean of itself. That's a pretty powerful statement. But to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you're no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it's evil for the man who eats it with offense. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. So we can condemn ourselves sometimes by our actions among each other. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he doesn't eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is what? It's sin. It's sin. Now, there are things in the Bible that the Bible doesn't directly address, or as I said, gives us some direction to follow, but doesn't flesh it out or give us examples necessarily. The Bible tells us that some people that we are going to be around have weak faith. Anybody see that? You saw that in there, right? What in the world is the Apostle Paul talking about when he talks about weak faith? The word weak here is defined as without strength or sick. Okay? Without strength or sick is what the word means. And what is being said is this. Some people have a faith that is not at the place where they feel completely safe in the grace of God. Okay? Maybe they don't, and that could be for any number of reasons. It's not necessarily because of a lack of knowledge or anything like that. It could be because of what they've been through in their past, what they came out of. You understand what I mean? I mean, there could be several reasons for that. And so, therefore, sometimes they'll build fences around themselves to protect themselves. Fences like, don't touch this or don't do that. Because it makes them feel safer within their walk with God. Now, is there anything wrong with boundaries? Is there anything wrong with boundaries? No. Boundaries aren't bad, and there's nothing wrong with boundaries. The Bible tells us what is outside of the Spirit of God, what is not good for us, what is not healthy for us, what is going to bring destruction upon our life. But some people demand even greater restrictions than you find in the Word. You understand what I'm saying? You ever seen that in your life? You ever seen that? Well, because not everything is specifically addressed in the Word, sometimes it causes disputes between those that are at different places in their walk with God. And sometimes we interpret Scripture differently, as I said, so we disagree. But that's not necessarily the problem. Okay, that's not necessarily the problem. The problem comes about many times because of what follows that. What happens next when we disagree. We begin to judge one another. And I'm going to say some things. Don't get mad at me, but this is just some of the things that we say. Okay? They see R-rated movies. They drink. I can't believe that. They do this. They do that. You know, and we begin to look at one another and we begin to say, you know, how can they do that? I've even heard other Christians, one Christian judge another, even here in America, over what we eat. How can they eat all that sugar? You know what I mean? How can they eat all that stuff? That's just, you know, what can they do? And why do they do that, you know? They're just killing themselves. Why do they do that? Now, I understand that we should have a concern for one another, right? But I've also learned something else a long time ago. I've got more than enough to say grace over and taking care of myself. All right, my job is to preach the Word of God, not be the moral policeman. Okay? The Holy Spirit has the ability to convict people of their sin. Now, as a leader in the church and all of us that are leaders, we have a responsibility to ensure that sin is not operating in the church and destroying things in the church. And we have an obligation out of love, if we see sin operating in somebody's life, to come to them and love on them and say, hey, this is, according to the Scriptures, this is going to kill you. You can't do this. If you really want to walk with God and you really want to see God's hand on your life, you know, be aware of what's going on here. I understand that we have that. But I don't have time to be the moral policeman. Okay? I don't have time to keep tabs on every single person. I'm not the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit's job, to keep tabs on what everybody is doing And if at the appropriate time, whenever God decides if something needs to be addressed by leadership to bring it to their attention. Okay? All right. So, how does the Bible tell us how to handle these type of things? First thing it says, of course, is don't judge. Everybody say, don't judge. We're clearly commanded to stop judging in these matters. Now think of the disputes the early church was having that caused this debate. Okay? Idolaters. Now here we are. They were in an idolatrous, well, we are too, but they were in an idolatrous atmosphere. And sometimes these idolaters would do what you see sometimes at these nail salons. Okay? As part of their worship of these idols, they would offer foods as a sacrifice to their gods. Okay? Then the food would be sold in the marketplace. If they had a place where, you know, a shop, or they might give it to a friend or sell it to a friend who would sell it in their shop. Or Christians would sometimes be invited to eat with these unbelievers, and this food would sometimes be served at dinner. Okay? Some Christians wouldn't touch the food because it could be something that had been offered to an idol. They wouldn't buy it in the marketplace. They wouldn't eat with an unbeliever without asking, has this food been offered to an idol? I must know. And if they said, yes, it has been or whatever, then they wouldn't eat it. Okay? So that was kind of the atmosphere that was going on there. Now, so there were some people that were really paranoid about that. They were like, man, I don't want to defile myself. And there was nothing wrong with the way that they believed, necessarily. They said, I don't want to defile myself by anything that's been sacrificed to an idol. But there were other Christians that would go in and they would buy that food and they'd cook it at home and they'd sit down and say, thank you, Jesus, for this food. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. No idol created this pig. No idol created these ribs. No idol created these collard greens and these black-eyed peas, and no idol created. Praise God for it, and they'd just eat it. Okay? So you had this mixture of folks, and do we still have that mixture kind of like that in the church now? We do, don't we? And disputes arose in the early church about what they should do and what they shouldn't do and how they should approach those situations and how they shouldn't. Verse 14 says, as one is who is in the Lord Jesus, I'm fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. That's a pretty powerful statement. The Apostle Paul is saying, in my walk with God, in my relationship with God, and what I've learned through the apostles and through the teaching of the Lord Jesus is that just eating food does not separate me from God. Eating food or not eating food is not going to damage or enhance my relationship with Him. 1 Corinthians 8:8 says, but food does not bring us near to God. We're no worse if we do not eat, and no better if we do. Okay? So that's a very interesting statement. And the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we're ingesting. What did Jesus say about that? Jesus said, hey, what you eat goes into your mouth and into your belly and leaves you in the bathroom. That's what he said. And he said, it's not what enters a man's mouth that defiles him. It's what? What comes out of the man that defiles him. It's what defiles him is what comes out of his heart. Okay, what defiles him is when Jesus, when the Holy Spirit's not in control of what's in the heart, sanctifying in the heart, what the Lord's not in charge of in the heart. That's what defiles a man, not necessarily what he eats. Okay? Kingdom of God is not a matter of food or drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Okay? But above all, regardless of how we view that, how each one of us view that, we're not to be each other's judge in those kind of matters. There's one master we're accountable to, and his name is Jesus, and we'll do well to take care of ourselves. 1 Corinthians 10:23 says, everything is lawful, and this is the balance to that. Everything is lawful, but not everything is helpful or edifying. There is evil in this world. Is that right? There is evil, and that evil seeks to influence the believer even and affect the believer. So while it may be not unlawful for you to live in this world and eat and drink and listen to things and see things, not everything you put into your heart, in your ears, and in your eyes, and even sometimes in your mouth, is going to lead you to a good place. It's not going to have a good outcome on you. You know, nowadays, and I'm sure not, I've got an observation. Is that okay? I'm not a big social media person. As a matter of fact, I too much information, okay, for me. But nowadays, it's kind of in vogue to know a little bit about everything. You ever seen this? You ever seen that? You ever watched this guy on YouTube? You ever seen this video? You ever look at that? Yeah, I've seen that. Isn't that funny? I know it's kind of dirty, but, you know, there's some funny stuff in there. And it's kind of in vogue to know something about everything. But you know what? Even though it may be lawful, there's, you know, Jesus is not going to come down and crush you for watching those things. Well, you know, sometimes you don't need to be watching some stuff just because of your relationship with God. And, you know, there are prophets on the evil side as well as on the good side. Who are the prophets of this world? Philosophers, authors, singers, rappers, teachers, musicians. Those are the prophets of this world. You know, I've got a family member who, when he got saved, he was really on fire for God, but he was hurt and he needed to be healed some, and so he went through a lot of healing stuff. And then all of a sudden, he got to this point in his life, Pastor Bob, where he wanted to cast off all legalism. Well, I don't blame you. I don't want that legalism in my life either. But his definition of casting off all legalism included listening to anything he wanted to listen to. You know? And his response was that if he got around other believers and drinking anything he wanted to and doing, you know. Okay? Now, I'm not a prude, and I don't believe in adding things to the Word of God. I mean, but I'm not a prude about it. I've told you guys over and over, if I walk in a restaurant and you're sitting there and you got drinks on your table, don't try to pour everything out before I see you. Okay? Because I don't believe in snapshot judgments. Plus, you having a drink is not breaking the Word of God. Pastor Bob told me about a trip he made to Germany. If I get this story wrong, please correct me, Pastor Bob. But Pastor Bob traveled around the world to teach prayer and to minister in churches. And I'm not glorifying this, I'm just saying. So he goes to this church, they have service, and then later they're going to go in the basement and have a lunch, I believe it was, in the basement. Well, Pastor Bob walks in the basement, there's cases of beer stacked up in the basement in this church. You know what I mean? I mean, they're there, and it's different. Everybody say it's different for us. We're not used to those things, right? And like I said, culture doesn't rule, the Bible does. But we can make an instant judgment on that and look at that and instantly say these people are wrong. Instantly we could. when in reality we don't know if they're under the control of that or not. Does that make any sense? Now, I don't think you're going to find any cases of beer stacked up here. Okay? But one of the reasons is because of what we're teaching here tonight. And that's not the only reason. But one of them is because we've got all kinds of different people here. And to some people, that's going to bother them. Okay? But that's not the only reason. Well, what would we need it here for? You understand what I'm saying? But it's... So Pastor Bob told me this story, and that would have caught me off guard if I'd have walked in there. You know what I mean? But it's easy to make a snap judgment and not really know what's going on. Well, look at this. These people, they're going to sit here, and next thing you know, they're going to be roaring drunk. Well, we don't know that, you know? We don't have any idea that that's what's going to happen. Pastor Bob, I don't know if he finished the rest of the story, but I don't know if that happened when he was there. It's a different culture, not necessarily breaking the Word of God, though. You see what I'm saying? Now, if there's drunkenness is a problem, yeah, that's a problem. Because when you start getting drunk, then you start getting losing, the Holy Spirit starts losing control of you, and your flesh starts taking control. And I've heard people preach that in Jesus' day, when it said they did wine that was non-alcoholic. I'm sorry, I don't believe that. Okay, I've been to Israel. Who went to Israel on the last trip? Okay, all right. We went to a Sabbath night dinner. We were invited to eat Passover meal in a Jewish home. Okay? So we walk in, all right, there's wine bottles all over the tables. All right, everybody's looking at me. The team, you know. But we had kind of had a little talk about that before we got there, to a degree. And I said, look, you guys are adults. And I am not your God, okay? You know what the Word of God says. Does anybody want to, does not know what the Word of God says about these things, okay? So when you get there, you operate under the Word. Don't worry about me. So we got there, and I was surprised at some of them that were pouring out of the bottle. I really was. And when we did a toast, guess what? I poured some in my glass. I didn't drink at all, but I took a sip. I mean, because I was deferring to my host without breaking the Word of God. But we can judge one another. And we can judge one another harshly sometimes. And there's been relationships that have been broken over these type of things when it wasn't necessary in some cases. Now, in some cases, there's abuse. And the abuse is causing destruction in somebody's life. And somebody who loves them needs to approach that. But in some cases, relationships have been broken when that wasn't necessary. Okay. The second thing that the Bible tells us to do is don't violate people. Don't violate people. 1 Corinthians 8:9 puts it this way. Be careful, however, that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak. Okay? Look, I didn't finish my story a while ago. So in this story, this person that was in my family went to the place with this where it was like, we're free and we're going to do this and we don't care if it hair lips the governor. You understand what I'm saying? We don't care. And if there are people in here that don't like it or it bothers them, that's their problem. I said, this thing's crossed over into a bad place. We got free from legalism and lost love somewhere. Because there are people in that room that maybe were ex-alcoholics. There are people in that room that just can't touch that stuff. There are people in that room that don't feel good about that. Now, what is more important, me being able to drink a drink or to have my brother or my sister walking strong in their faith? What's more important? You know what? That whole thing cloaked in the name of freedom is selfishness, dressed up as freedom. That's what it is. It's selfishness, dressed up as liberty. Well, we don't care, you know, and it's just whatever. You know, you'll just have to get over it. That's your problem. No, it's not. When we're not acting out of love, it's our problem. And in verse 13 says this, therefore, if what I eat causes my brother to fall into sin, look what the Apostle Paul says, I will never eat meat again so that I won't cause him to fall. So what's the Apostle Paul putting the preference on? See, this is agape love at operating here. This is agape. What is one of the characteristics of agape? Preference. Putting somebody else before yourself. You know what I mean? Jelly bean? Putting someone else before yourself. That's agape. So that's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. Apostle Paul is saying, man, somebody else's walk with God and their strength in the faith is way more important than whether I eat a hamburger or not. Or whether I drink a beer with my fish and chips. Is there anything wrong with having a beer with your fish and chips? No, not unless you can't control it. If you're one of those kind of people, there is no middle ground for you. You understand what I mean? I used to be one of those kind of people. There was two conditions when it came to alcohol, sober and drunk. There were two states dealing with alcohol. There was nothing in the middle. I was one of those guys. There was nothing in the middle. There was no drink one. There was no moderation. You drank to get drunk. That's what you did. That's what it was for. And so for years after I got saved, I just couldn't touch any of it. I couldn't do it because I just was like, you know what I mean? I mean, middle ground, no here. So I understand that. And if my brother and my sister is at that place, and if they just can't do that, I mean, some people, that, among other things, is just going to send you to hell. You understand what I mean? I mean, you don't even have to have it in your mouth, in your refrigerator. It's just going to send you to hell in your refrigerator. It's sitting in there. And I understand that, and there are people that believe that. So I can look at them and go, or I can say, that's my brother, my sister. This other stuff that is not that important at all, especially in relation to them and where they are in their faith. Get that out of here. You understand what I'm saying? So we don't want to violate people. What's the priority on my brother, my sister, peace, and mutual edification? My freedom is secondary. Christ died to save my brother, so I better not destroy him because what I want to be able to do when I want to be able to do it. You know? Anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If we're in a nail salon at the end of the world, now you're probably not going to catch me in one. Unless I'm in there buying my wife a gift certificate. Although our neighbors just moved down from New Jersey. And they are Vietnamese. And they've opened a nail salon and out there. So I might go out there, you know, and my wife does go out there and get her there, and she talks to them about the Lord and stuff. But if I'm in a nail salon buying a gift certificate, not getting my feet scrubbed or any of that kind of stuff, but if I'm in a nail salon getting a gift certificate when the apocalypse happens and we're stuck in there with no food, Parky's going to eat that fruit in front of that Buddha without any trouble. I will have no problems with that. Hopefully they'll have a roast or something in front of there too. Because I'm going to pick it up and say, Jesus did this. Hallelujah. It's a product of his creation. Now when we start fellowshipping at both tables, demons and the table of God too, in other words, we're playing around, we got a divided heart, yeah, you got a problem. Because you're not just fellowshipping, you're not just having fun. There's a participation with demons there. If you stay in the world long enough, now don't go in the world to find this out, but if you stay in the world long enough, you're going to run into those spirits eventually that are behind everything. You're going to run into them. Eventually. I did. I thought this was all just about having fun, surviving, laughing, trying to get by, and just being a kid. And eventually I ran into the spirits that were manipulating, controlling that thing. And when I did, you know it. When you do, you know it. Because they're there to kill you. Steal, kill, and destroy. All right? So there's demons involved in that type of stuff. Just don't think we're just having fun. You know, there are Christians that go places. I don't understand why they go there. I mean, but for their own sake, I don't understand why they go there. I mean, I don't understand why we got to go to a nightclub. So I like to dance. Well, you know, find you a place to dance where you don't have to deal with all those demons and stuff. Come down here in the altar on Sunday and dance. Two-step down here if you want to. Pastor Bob may remember this. Don't do that. It won't bother me, but I guarantee you it'll bother somebody else. One time we were in Rockwall and we were having a Wednesday night worship. And there was a brother there who had been saved out of the world, man. Jesus had redeemed him out of the world. Well, he got so excited about the Lord one night, he got down there in that altar and he started dancing. Well, these were choreographed moves. Now, most of us are terrible dancers in the spirit. You know, you can tell somebody's been a Christian a long time because they're dancing like that. You know, no, they're not even doing that good. You know, we're just, you know, I mean, we just don't know what we're doing. You know, I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying, but this guy was doing, I mean, boy, I don't remember if you were there that day, but he was cutting. He had learned those moves somewhere. And I watched that and I thought, well, you know, that old guy, that guy, you can tell, you know, he's learned that from somewhere. But that guy was dancing before the Lord with all of his might. And it was real easy for me to look at him and start judging his heart, you know. But I don't know what's going on with that guy. God, and if I start interfering with that, I might get between God and that guy. And I don't want to do that. You know, I don't know if you guys remember, he had a beard and he was kind of blondish redheaded. Boy, he cut loose, man. He was doing those river dance stuff. I can't do that stuff, you know. I've never been a dancer much. Sometimes we'll go somewhere and my wife will say, dance with me. You know, we'll go to a dinner or something. They're playing music. She'll say, dance with me. I said, I don't know how. I say, I can belly rub with you. She says, that's good enough. You know? Now, I can't do that when my mama's around. Now, if you want to get divorced 45 times, that's okay with my mom if you're not happy. But don't have any alcohol in your refrigerator and don't dance. Okay? Gosh, mama. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. Don't cut that part out, okay? I don't think she listens to me anyway, so. You know, so it's just, I can't judge what's going on in your heart. I can judge fruit, but fruit is something I have to watch over a long period of time. And just some things that you're doing, if you're doing things that the Bible doesn't say is wrong, I can't create something else, because the minute I create something extra biblical, I do think that begins to get into legalism. I do think we're creating extra rules other than the ones we found in the Bible. Okay? To salvation. The Jews started doing that with the Gentiles early on. The Apostle Paul threw a fit. Now, and in order to have one new man and to be able to come together, the early church met together in Acts 15, and they did come up with a few rules. Don't eat meat strangled. Don't eat something strangled. Don't drink blood. Don't commit adultery, and don't do these type of things. If you do these things, you'll do well. One of them, adultery is directed related to your relationship with God. Okay, and the other things were so the Jews and the Gentiles could fellowship together. Because the Jews couldn't do those other things in good conscience. You understand what I'm saying? And so the church said, man, if you guys can curtail yourselves on some of this stuff, so for the sake of fellowship. And the Bible says when the Apostle Paul took those things around, the church rejoiced at what they read. They didn't go, well, why didn't he give us these rules? You know, that's not really talked about in the Bible, but I think that's a big part of it. Was we need to be able to fellowship with one another. We need to be able to be together. That's what God wants us to be. And there's going to be times you're going to have to curtail yourself so that other people will not feel violated. Okay? And finally, whatever's not of faith is sin. If your brother can't watch certain things, eat certain things, hear certain things, don't force them to do so. Don't be the kind of person that somebody says, man, that what you got on the radio is bothering me, and you just turn it up louder. You know, turn it off. If he's not fully convinced in his own mind, then he's sinning against his faith. Remember, if he's not doing something out of good conscience, he's not doing it out of worship of Jesus. Do you want to violate his worship of Jesus in his life? I don't. We're all in different places in our walk with Jesus. And do we not trust that Jesus knows enough to be our leader and our shepherd? Take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. Everybody say, take care of yourself. Focus on taking care of yourself. Why do you try to remove the speck in your brother's eye? You understand what I'm saying? I know leadership has responsibilities. I understand that. And I know love has responsibilities. I understand that. When there's real sin going on, I understand that. But be careful how you judge, okay? Because you may not really know what's going on. Remember that. And even if something's a foul in somebody's life, or if they're doing things differently than you, you're going to have to, is it destroying them? Is it sin? Is it destroying their life? And, you know, we need to pray through what we're doing. And we need to follow the word, follow love, and fulfill our responsibilities. But it's like, you know, Pastor Bob, if he would have been so flipped out about beer being in that church, he wouldn't have even been able to stay there. And God sent him there to minister to those people. He'd have just said, well, guys, I can't stay here. Instead, he said, pour me one. No, he didn't. I doubt very seriously Pastor Bob drank one. I doubt that very seriously. I doubt that very, 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 very seriously. Okay? Everybody understand what the Bible's teaching us here? Love is the foundation for all we do, right? Follow the Word of God. Let the Lord talk to you about what you need in your life and what you don't need in your life, and follow what He says. There may be some shows you don't need to watch, and He's telling you, don't watch that. There may be some music you don't need to listen to, and He's telling you, don't listen to that. Okay? Be open to what He's saying to you. And if somebody else does that and you don't necessarily get in their face about it. It's okay for you to say, well, you know, the Lord just, you know, I can't do that. He doesn't want me doing that in my life. So, yeah. But that's different than condemning somebody else and coming after them and saying, well, like I said, leaders are held to a higher standard. If you're a leader, you can't live like you're lost. If you're a leader, you do have to, you know, people should expect you to be able to live above reproach. But you know, all of us avoid sin. You understand what I'm saying? They're not going to arrest you for watching a television show. But is that good for you or not? Is what you're putting into yourself and what you're seeing there, is that good for you? Or does that take your mind places that it doesn't need to go? Is that influencing you in a negative and evil way? Okay? Be sensitive. And you know what? It's okay, especially young guys, I'm going to talk to you young guys and ladies, it's okay if you don't know everything that's on social media. It's all right. Okay? It's okay if somebody looks at you and says, you ever seen this? No, I've never seen it, to be honest with you. There are some things it's better not to see because of the evil influences behind it and the fleshly influences behind it. But let's love one another, all right? Let's love each other. And let's give each other the benefit of the doubt until we have evidence. And let's don't take the fact that somebody may have something in their hand to say they're a drunk. Because we may not know, though. We may not have the evidence of that. Do you see what I'm saying? My question is, are they doing something that's against the Bible? Okay, and if they're not, I need to stay away from it. even if I wouldn't do it myself. You know what I'm talking about. Even if I wouldn't do it myself, I just need to stay away from that. I mean, as far as trying to correct somebody or make somebody feel bad or something about it. Okay. All right. Well, I'm not necessarily sure where we're going to go after this. I'm thinking about teaching about heaven and hell for a little while. But I'm still praying about it. But if we do, whatever we'll do, we'll start next week, okay? And God is good. Isn't he good? He's good. And I'm proud to be and humbled to be a part of a group of people with you. I'm glad you're my family. We're not perfect. We'll never will be till Jesus comes. But you know what? We've got people, even in this church, that can come to this church and worship together who believe different ways about different things. And I'm not talking about essentials necessarily of salvation. I had one guy got on another guy in this church because he believed differently about salvation than he did. One was a Calvinist and the other one wasn't. Calvinist believes, you know, that you get saved once and, you know, you're kind of predestined to it and you get saved and man, you're in there others don't, you know, they believe you can kind of go in and out of salvation depending upon your behavior and things and your submission to God. And the guy, one of the guys actually, he ran the other guy out of this church because he believed differently. I said, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. I had somebody, it's 8:32, but I'm going to say this Sunday. I had somebody tell me that somebody visiting for the first time came into this church and was asked to move out of a seat four times in the same service. One time they sat with one that's a reserve, that's why they're all yanked. The next three times they sat somewhere in somebody else's seat. I'm going to tell you, you ain't got a seat in here. Well, I paid for that seat. We'll sit in the one next to it. How do you think Jesus looks at that? Well, it's my seat. It's my seat. It's my seat. The Lord said, get your skinny tail up and move over if your brother wants in your seat. I was ashamed and embarrassed when I heard that. I started to quit. Are we not listening? Are we not reading? What are we doing? Are we making this up as we go along? This is my church. Well, it's yours, and the fact that the Lord joined you to it, it's not my church. This is the Lord's church. And he can get me out of here anytime he wants. And he will if I start doing stuff like that. That's all said in love, too. I was frustrating, but you know, guys, I'm sorry. That's just the human part of me. But come on. Come on. Come on. Would you want to go to a church where they ask you to move the first four times you were here first day? I don't blame you. I'll leave with you. I'll go with you. Because people are not first behind the Lord in that type of situation. I'm first. Okay? But anyway, God is good, isn't he? He good. He good. He good. He's good. He's good. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. I'm sorry I'm a little bit late. Father, I just pray that you would put your word inside of us, and Lord, that you would just strengthen us and speak to us. And Lord, we give you ourselves. And Lord, none of us have all of our attitudes completely right, but we want them to be. Please deal with us. Please don't stop working on us. Please, when we're off, we want you to confront us. And so, Father, we give you praise. Change our heart to be a heart of love, and we thank you for it, Lord. And thank you for using us to reach each other. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen.
Amen.
All right, God bless you. Have a super week.